Well, for those of you who are joining us online, we want to welcome you as well. This month, in the month of December, we are talking about peace on earth. And peace on earth, of course, is one of the things that the angels in Luke 2 proclaim to the shepherds. When they declare that, okay, there's a baby being born, he's going to be our Savior. It's worth rejoicing and celebrating about. And he says, and they also say, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's part of the message that this Messiah King that was being born would bring. So we are talking about that in the month of December. That also happens to be the theme or the title of our drama presentation. And we started this last week. One thing very important that we said last week was that something that the Jews in Jesus' time didn't understand, and maybe even people here today don't understand, but Jesus' coming was to be in two parts. The first part is when he came 2,000 years ago. And at that time, Jesus comes to bring peace, but peace on the inside of us, a supernatural peace. And we're going to talk about that today. On the other hand, there'll still be war, and there has been. There's still going to be hatred. There's still corruption, poverty, racism, injustice in this world. Because the first coming did not really address that. Okay, the first coming was to bring, really the most important, to bring peace into our hearts. Now, when Jesus returns for the second time, that's when he will establish a world filled with righteousness, justice, and peace. In fact, the verse that we read last week, and let's read it again, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. He's talking about that first coming, right? And the government will rest on his shoulders. By the way, this was written 800 years before the time of Jesus by the prophet Isaiah. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And then he goes on talking about what happens in the second coming. There'll be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. In other words, peace will last forever on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So when Jesus returns, he's going to establish righteousness and peace on the earth. Now he starts with what's on inside of us. So today we want to talk about that inner peace that God wants to give to us. How does it work? So let's pray. Father, we ask that you would give us insight this morning. We ask that you would open our eyes to see truth and let that truth penetrate each of our minds and our hearts this morning. So open our eyes, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we could say pretty much everyone is looking for peace, an inner peace. At least I've never met anyone who hasn't been looking for that. Unfortunately, many lives are characterized by the opposite of peace, by anxiety, by fear, by restlessness, inner conflicts. Just the opposites of true peace. But when the peace of God, the true peace of God, comes into our heart, it drives those things away. Anxiety, fear, those inner conflicts. True peace today probably seems further and further out of reach for most people. People say, you know, I just can't get that peace. And I think especially in today's world, there's constant changing. Everything is accelerated, high-paced, high-stress environments that we all live in. People are constantly moving from one to another. People are changing jobs, careers all the time. And it's wearing on people. It's wearing on people's soul. And so today, if ever there's a need for peace, the peace of God is today. We've shared this before, but just the amount of knowledge in the world continues to double. It used to be that the amount of knowledge in the world, it took about 1,000 years for that to double. And then it was 500 years, and then 100 years. And then around 1950, 1960, it started every 15, 20 years. And today, this is hard to believe, but they say the amount of knowledge in the world doubles every 13 months. And so you can see how people just feel like, wait a minute, slow down, slow down. I can't keep up. And at least their soul is crying out for that. And so today is a time when the peace of God is needed and wanted by most people. Now, a lot of people may not kind of say, oh, I need the peace of God, but that's really what they're looking for. So how does one get this peace? And I think the first thing we need to state very clearly, and we mentioned this a little bit last week, is peace with God is necessary before we can have peace with others or peace within ourselves. So it starts with peace with God. If we don't have peace with God, we're never going to have peace in here, and we're never going to have peace with those around us. So I'd like for us to especially look at one verse today. We'll look at a few others, but I'd like for us to look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read it again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification by faith is what brings peace, the true peace with God. Without this justification, and I'm going to explain that in just a few minutes, we have no true peace. By the way, justification can also be translated righteousness. In English, we have two different words, justification and righteousness. In Greek, and also in Spanish, and in French, and many other languages, it's only one word, la justicia. You know, it means righteousness, it means justification. So for English speakers, it can get a little bit complicated for us. But the problem is that we cannot get this justification in our own strength. Because of sin, because of selfishness, pride, all the conflicts that go on. It's almost like this sin keeps God's peace out of our lives. It's like it closes the door. And that's really the problem of mankind, because we all are sinful people, aren't we? Romans 1 through 6. Chapters 1 through 6. We won't read all of it today, don't worry. You know, it talks about this gift of justification. But it's kind of interesting because the first half of those six chapters, the first three chapters of Romans talk about how sinful man is. I mean, actually, it's very depressing if you read it. But the writer of Romans, Paul, he seemed to know that we needed to know how sinful we were before he could explain the gift of justification. So half of what he talks about is how sinful we are. So in Romans 1 and 3, 2 and 3, it's a real strong message. How man has been weighed down by sin. Man just can't get ahead. He wants to live a righteous life, but he just can't do it in his own strength. In fact, it talks about the more we try, the more we fail. And you know what? That's the way it is with a lot of people. The more we fail, or the more we try, just seems like we keep falling. Actually, just this morning, there is a man who walked in here looking for the office here, and he said, "What's going on here?" I said, "It's a church. You can join us if you want." And he said, "Oh, not me, not me. God wouldn't let me to heaven for anything." And I said, "I'm not so sure about that." And he said, no, really. I've really sinned a whole lot." And anyway, I ended up talking to him for about 20 minutes. I gave him one of the books. And but he at the end, he said, "You know, I've been religious before." He says, I was born in the Catholic Church, and I was a Presbyterian, and then I was a Baptist, but I've just committed too many mistakes. But you know, the good news, and I told him this, is that God has given us a gift. But he knew that he was sinful. And that's actually a big step forward. So Romans 1 through 3 talks about this. And it talks about how we get caught in this vicious trap or this vicious cycle of sin and hopelessness. And it's like we keep going down and down. And we can't get out. The older we are, we just can't get out. And so we start blaming God. "God, it's your fault." We're ungrateful. And we can get bitter and hard toward him and others. Now, this isn't just for believers. Romans 1 through 3 says, even for religious people. And he talks about even religious Jews, Paul was saying. We can't really do it ourselves. Actually, it's kind of interesting. Many times when we think of being religious, we think of, oh, that's a good person. They're trying to please God. And we think of that as in a good sense. But really, being religious, there's a problem with being religious. Because being religious means I'm trying to please God so much where I can get him to like me and love me. What's the problem with that? We can never be good enough, right? Never. The more we try to please God, the more we fail. And so sometimes religious people, they try to think, let's make up a lot of rules. And sometimes they take them from the Bible. If I obey all the rules, then I'll be good. In other words, they get away from the internal and they make it external. But even then, even the rules that we set up for ourselves, we still can't live up to them. And that's really the problem of all of mankind. And that's the message of Romans 1, 2, and much of 3. Let's look at Romans 3. I just want to kind of read just a few verses. Verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they?" He's talking about the religious people over pagans. "Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin." Actually, I have that circled in my Bible. All are under sin. And then it goes on to verse 10. It says, "There is none righteous, not even one." I have that word "none" circled in my Bible. "There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." And so what Paul's doing here, he's just going back into the Old Testament. He's just stringing together all the things that the law kind of says about mankind. And basically, no one's righteous. No one is. And so let's jump down to verse 14. "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. And the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." So he's saying that we've all being caught up or locked up into like a trap. You know, I kind of think about how the early pioneers here in Colorado, they would set traps, which probably is, we don't like to kind of think about that, but they'd set traps for beavers or for any type of animals to, and they'd step in them, they'd clamp down on them, and they'd be stuck. Then they'd kind of come back maybe 2 days later, and they'd go to all the traps, and then they would go ahead and kill the animal. Of course, they've been being tortured for 2 days, and that's how they would get their food. And it's almost like sin is a trap for mankind. We try to go through this world not stepping on traps, but what happens? It happens. And there's not anything we can do it. We can be religious. We can be a pagan. We can do whatever it is. We can't do it in our own. And even the law. You know, Paul talks about the law in these chapters as well. And he says, you know, the law is good. But the problem with the law is that none of us can kind of meet it. And he says, well, why should we have the law? And Paul says, because the law shows us how sinful we are and how we can't do it ourselves. Does that make sense? Because that's very important. So the law is good, but it just kind of confirms what we already know in our hearts. We can't do it ourselves. Okay, so in the middle of Romans 3, verse 21, by the way, I have the first two words circled. It says, but now, in other words, in spite of what it says in Romans 1 and Romans 2 and most of Romans 3, but now, verse 21, apart from the law, because the law can't really help us, the righteousness of God has been manifested. It's been brought to here to the earth, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We have been justified as a gift. This is God's great gift to mankind. The gift that comes through Jesus Christ, and it says it's available to all who have faith. Now, let's talk of what it means to be justified. To be justified, the gift of justification, it literally means to be declared righteous. Now, that's good news, because when I walk through this life and I'm not righteous, as Romans 3 says, there's none righteous, not even one. Okay, we all know that. So I'm not righteous. But God's gift is that He will come up and He says, my gift to you is you are now righteous. I've declared it. It's my word. And I receive it by faith. And does that mean that I've never sinned anymore? No, I have sinned. I'll probably still continue to sin. But God chooses, instead of seeing my sin, He sees His righteousness. In one place it says, His righteousness has been imputed to us. Yeah, that's a good word. Okay, I was thinking about how you could translate that. You know, but that's right. So it's been given to us. It's a gift. Do we deserve it? Of course not. But I have been declared righteous. Even though I've been covered and stained by sin, God pronounces me righteous. And it's interesting, Isaiah, you know, who wrote 800 years before Jesus, he tells of a day many times in his prophecies. There's going to be a day when righteousness will come to this earth and it'll spring forth in the hearts of men and women. That's us. It doesn't mean that we are better than anybody else, but we've been declared righteous. It's a wonderful, incredible, amazing gift. And there's no cost to it. It's available to everyone, to all, everyone. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's kind of the message of Romans 1 through 3. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the free gift of God. That's the message of the subsequent chapters, that we have the free gift of God now. And that's wonderful. We have eternal life now. We can have eternal life because, see, sin keeps us out of heaven. And this person I talked to this morning, he was right. I can't go to heaven. I've sinned too much. Well, that's right. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus because I'm declared righteous. It means forgiveness of sins, unconditional pardon. In fact, some have compared this gift of justification to a person who's guilty and he's waiting to be sentenced with the death sentence, you know, with the death penalty. He knows, okay, I've blown it. I'm going to get the death penalty for this. But then all of a sudden, someone comes along and says, can we give him a pardon? In fact, that's what a pardon is. You erase it all. Yeah, that person still committed that crime, but they are pardoned as if they had never done that. That's what God does with us. That's the way He erases all of our, He erases and wipes away all our sins. Not only that, but He gives us a relationship with God. This is, you know, it's like this gift. I think we've talked about this before. It's not just really one gift. It's a gift made up of many gifts. It's like once you open it, you say, oh, forgiveness of sins. Oh, wait a minute. There's eternal life to this. There's a lot of things. There's also relationship with God Almighty. You know, God, the creator of this world, the creator of all the stars, the galaxies, the universe, says, I want to have a personal relationship with you and you and me and you. My mind can't even comprehend that. He says, this is the type of relationship I want to have. I want to be your father, your heavenly father. And when I'm your father, I promise I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. You don't have to worry about things. I'm going to guide you step by step because I can actually see into the future. So I know exactly how to guide you. I'm going to provide for you. You know, this morning we sang that song, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, you know, all these things. So not only do we get eternal life and pardon of all our sins, but He also gives us a relationship. He becomes our Father. He also gives us a spiritual birth into a new kingdom called the kingdom of God that's going to last forever. Something else about this gift and being declared righteous, I can now stand before God with no guilt. I can come before Him anytime. Before, even the religious leaders back in the Old Testament, even the high priest, he could only come before God once a year in the holy place and just really for a short amount of time. And that wasn't even the true full presence of God. That was like a partial presence of God. And the book of Hebrews says, because we've been justified by the blood of Jesus, God now allows us to come before His throne day and night, continually. That is wonderful. That's incredible. In fact, when Hebrews talks about, in Hebrews 4, it talks about coming before the throne, we can have confidence. And he calls it the throne of grace and mercy. You know why he calls it that? Because when we go there, we can get grace. We can get mercy to walk in this life. Which probably leads us to another thing. The gift of justification leads us into this whole life of his grace, of his favor being poured upon us. Romans 5, I don't think we have it up here, but we just read, we've been talking about Romans 5, verse 1, having been justified by faith. The next verse says that justification gives us an introduction into the grace in which we stand. So this is wonderful. This is wonderful, this gift of justification. And it's been paid for by Jesus' blood when he went to the cross. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life. I like that, from your futile way of life. It just wasn't inherited from your fathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. God allowed Jesus to spill his own blood in order to give you this gift. And when we receive that gift, there's something supernatural that happens. It's the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of justification. And, there's a Matthew 22, 29. It says, Jesus is talking to some of the religious leaders. But Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God." God's word is powerful. And when he says, "I declare you righteous," it's powerful. One of the songs we sang this morning was, "His voice shall be heard in the power of his word." That's my favorite phrase in that song, because God's word has power. And when we read these words about how we have peace because of we've been justified by faith, we should rejoice. Because what happens, let's just read it once more, Romans 5:1. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," meaning we've received that gift, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a supernatural peace that can only be given, we can only receive through justification. Philippians 4:6-7 talks about, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We can't even comprehend the peace of God. But once we get it, it protects us from the world around us. It guards our hearts. It guards our minds. Jesus, one of the last things he said on the night in which he was betrayed and went to the cross the next day, John 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation." Right? We talked about that last week. "But take courage, I have overcome the world." Because we have the peace of God. Because we've been justified. That peace of God it changes everything. In fact, when Jesus, that was about the last thing he told the disciples. Then he went to the cross. He rose up on Sunday. And the first time that he sees all the disciples is found in John 20, verse 19. Let's read it. "So when it was evening of that day," the first day of the week, that was Easter Sunday, And when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, all the disciples, they were all locked up, doors locked, you know, windows down, curtains down, because they're fearful. All of a sudden, it says Jesus came and stood in the midst. You know, all of a sudden he was there in the middle of them. And what's the first thing he says? Peace be with you. And when they heard this, and when he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced, for they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, just in case they didn't get it the first time, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. He's talking about, because he's resurrected now, he provided a way for us to have eternal life and get this gift. And one of the first things he says about this gift, it comes with my peace. That peace that surpasses all comprehension. Now, let me tell you this. Next week, we're going to talk about how once we receive this gift of justification and this supernatural peace, it is still possible to be distracted by the world. We can lose that peace that he intends for us to walk in. So yes, Christians can still worry. They can be anxious. They can have fears. They can be discontent. But that's not God's plan. What's wrong? How do we live a life of continual peace? That's what we're going to talk about next week. But for today, the most important thing we got to realize is that peace begins with God's gift of justification. If you take that away, we're not going to get his peace. It starts there. It's like that's step number one, Deke. Having peace inside, peace with others, is having peace with God through that gift of justification, because it's so big. And by the way, we didn't even talk about everything about that gift. We just said, hey, there's a lot to it. And when we get it and we start realizing it, his peace is going to flood our hearts. Okay, so let's end with this. How do I know if I have received this gift? That's probably the question I get probably as much as any other question being a pastor. How do I know for sure? I think maybe I received this gift, but I'm not so sure. Well, if what we're saying this morning resonates with you, in other words, there's the Holy Spirit living inside of you is saying, yes, 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 that's right. Even though you might not have explained it that way, that's a good indication that, yes, you have received that gift. If you know something supernatural has happened down here, that there's been a grace that's been imparted to your life, that there's a peace that's come into your heart, that's a good indication that, yes, you have received that gift of justification. Now, if you don't have that peace, if all this seems kind of strange or unfamiliar, like even though you might like the sound of it, then maybe you need to kind of evaluate. Have I really received this gift of justification? Because I promise you, this gift of justification is going to flood your heart, your soul with peace. Now, again, I'm not saying you can lose it. We can do things to kind of get confused and we get distracted in life. We'll talk about that part next week. But when you receive that gift, there should be a sense that, yes, God loves me. There's something that's happened in my heart. All of a sudden, my thinking's changing. My desires are changing. My dreams have shifted. Now, it may be a slow process, but you know something is happening. So if these aren't in my life, what can you do? Well, you can get it settled today. You can pray today, that's right. And you can ask the Lord to, Lord, I want that gift. I mean, really, the Christmas story is not about Santa Claus. or giving gifts or any of that. It's about Jesus coming to earth to save us and provide us, provide a way for us to have this gift. That's why it says in Romans 5, verse 1 again, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to end with praying this morning. And if you have not, or if you're not sure you have really received this gift of justification, I invite you to do so now. It's by faith. It's basically saying, Lord, I see in your word that you've given this to me. And I don't deserve it myself. But yes, Lord, I'll reach out and I'll receive that. I want to have that spiritual birth. And by the way, if you're listening online, you know, I encourage you to do it wherever you are right now. If you're in a car or in your house or at work, hopefully you're not listening to this at work, you're working, but you know, wherever you are, I just invite you too to join us in prayer if you're unsettled by this, because God wants us to have a deep assurance that I belong to Him. I have eternal life. So let's pray. And again, if you're unsettled, I just invite you to just repeat these words or something similar, not out loud, but just, just in your, just to the Lord silently. Lord, today we've talked about this gift of justification. And somehow, I'm not so sure I've really received this. I understand now that I cannot be righteous by myself. I cannot be righteous just by being religious and going to church. In fact, Lord, I feel like I've been caught in that trap of sin. And I ask you, Lord, to help me now. Lord, this gift of righteousness, this gift of justification that we've talked about today, Lord, I don't know how to receive it, but you said by faith. And so, Lord, I receive by faith that gift of righteousness. And I ask that you would cleanse me. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to live for you, but I can't without that gift of justification. Lord, give that to me now. And Lord, I thank you. I receive it by faith. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would begin changing my life as I just take steps. They may be baby steps of just learning about you and what your word says. Lord, I want your word to be speaking to me on a regular, even a daily basis. So, Lord, I thank you now for that gift of justification. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this. Amen.